Good morning. A warm welcome to everyone, whoever you are and wherever you come from, to this online service of thanksgiving for the blessings of harvest. We extend a particular welcome to our visiting preacher, the Reverend Clifford Skillen, former rector of Finnahy in our sister diocese of Connor. Clifford, we are delighted to have you with us and look forward very much to your ministry of the word later. Our service is a celebration of the Holy Communion. Like the Israelites of old, we offer our baskets of fruit and harvest, what we have been given and what we have made of that gift. And we receive the bread, the fruit of the earth and labour of human hands, transformed in a wonderful way to become life and food, strength and growth. Grace, mercy and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Hymn 37, Come, Ye Thankful People, Come. Almighty God,
to whom all hearts are open,
all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit,
that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets.
Lord, have mercy on us, and write these your laws in our hearts.
God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Eternal God, you crown the year with your goodness and give us the fruits of the earth in their season. Grant that we may use them to your glory, for the relief of those in need, and for our own well-being, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Old Testament reading is from the second book of Kings, chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man and in high favour with his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man, though a mighty warrior, suffered from leprosy. Now the Arameans, on one of their raids, had taken a young girl captive from the land of Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my Lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." So Naaman went in and told his Lord just what the girl from the land of Israel had said. And the king of Aram said, "Go then, and I will send along a letter to the king of Israel." When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to give death or life that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Just look and see how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent a message to the king. "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come to me that he may learn that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and halted at the entrance of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, "Go wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean." But Naaman became angry and went away, saying, "I thought that for me he would surely come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and would wave his hand over the spot and cure the leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" He turned and went away in a rage. But his servants approached and said to him, "Father, if the prophet had commanded you to do something difficult, would you not have done it? How much more when all he said to you was, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and immersed himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. His flesh was restored like the flesh of a young boy, and he was clean. Then he returned to the man of God, he and all his company. He came and stood before him and said, "Now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Please accept a present from your servant." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Responsorial Psalm, number 67.
The epistle is from the first letter of St. Paul to the Thessalonians, chapter 5, beginning at verse 12. "But we appeal to you, brothers and sisters, to respect those who labour among you, and have charge of you in the Lord and admonish you. Esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, beloved, to admonish the idlers, encourage the faith-hearted, help the weak, be patient with all of them. See that none of you repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to all."
Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise the words of prophets. But test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. May the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. And may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who called you is faithful, and he will do this. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The gradual hymn, Holy is the Seed Time.
Hear the Gospel of our Saviour Christ according to St. Luke, chapter 17, beginning at verse 11.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the gospel of the Lord. Lord, thou hast given us so much. Give us one more thing, we pray, a grateful heart for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. During my first year as rector of Upper and Lower Kilwarland in 1993, I conducted a number of evening services in the Church of the Ascension during the vacancy between Canon Eric Kingston's retirement and the arrival of your rector, my good friend Robert. To return for the first time in some 27 years is for me a source of much personal pleasure and delight. Robert and I go back longer than either of us would care to remember or confess, and I am most grateful to him for affording me the privilege of sharing with you in worship at harvest tide, always a special time in a parish's year. Towards the end of Stephen Sondheim's musical A Little Night Music, the play's matriarch, the aging and severe Madame Leonora Armfelt, talks to her granddaughter Frederica about recent chaotic events in their family's lives. Long simmering passions have surfaced in a spider's web of sensuality and intrigue among family members, as the characters try to break into or out of love relationships. Reflecting on it all and looking back over the years, the elderly lady asks Frederica a surprising question, one which has stayed with me since I first saw the play, and one which I would like to ask you, especially in the context of this particular occasion. "Will you tell me," Madame Armfelt asks, "what is it all for? What is it all for?" A clue for us lies in the two lessons which I have chosen. At a first hearing, perhaps somewhat odd readings for a harvest thanksgiving. In the Old Testament reading, Naaman, a successful Syrian army commander, has come to Israel because a slave girl told his wife that the prophet Elisha would be able to cure him of his leprosy. Naaman is clearly not impressed by the reception he receives from Elisha. He expects something much more spectacular than being told secondhand by a messenger to wash 7 times in what Naaman regards as some insignificant stream. He storms off in a rage, but it is his servants who calm him down and persuade him to think again. "Father, if the prophet had commanded you to do something difficult, would you not have done it?" How much more when all he said to you was wash and be clean? So Naaman does what he has been told and is healed. He then comes back to Elisha to acknowledge his healing and offer his thanksgiving. In the gospel reading, the lepers have none of Naaman's political power and influence. They are compelled to live on the margins of society, disfigured, rejected social outcasts, continually crying out to warn others of their condition. They have come to Jesus hoping for healing. And just as with Naaman, there is nothing spectacular, no fireworks. Jesus simply tells them to do what the law prescribes. They are to present themselves to the priests as evidence of their being healed. And then, as we know, off they go into the blue, not to be seen again. All that is except for one, a despised, half-breed Samaritan foreigner, a sworn enemy of the Jews, who returns to praise and thank God for his healing. May I suggest that we too are like Naaman and the Samaritan leper, though in vastly different circumstances. We too are offering our thanks and gratitude to God in the first instance for the blessings of harvest. But those words of Madame Armfeld still ring in our ears. What is it all for? I believe that the real relevance of harvest thanksgiving is not so much that we reflect on our various harvests of the land, industry, and the sea, important though they all are, but that we reaffirm the virtue of thankfulness, which ought to lie at the very core of our Christian life and witness. And while we're at it, let's not neglect to include those very special gifts which, in our apathy and selfishness, we just take for granted. Our home, family, loved ones, friends and colleagues, and all they do for us and mean to us. We pause then in the daily round, the common task, to thank God for all his material and spiritual gifts, mercies and blessings bestowed upon us over the whole of our lives. That's what it's all for. But I would like us to widen our thinking about thanksgiving to encompass other things nearer home. Let us give thanks for the beautiful Church of the Ascension, where people have walked faithfully with God since its consecration in 1856. 164 years of worship. Many people these days claim that they can find God, if indeed they are looking for him in the first place, just as easily, if not better, outside the institutional church and church buildings. Of course, we believe that God is all around us. But may I suggest that we need our church buildings, reservoirs of peace, where we can contemplate the mysteries of our faith. Buildings where we can experience the uplifting beauty of both the liturgy and sacred music. And buildings where we can encounter the presence of the living God, especially in the bread and wine of the Eucharist, albeit slightly different in these times, but still the supreme act of thanksgiving. We give thanks for the harvest of this holy place, proclaiming to all God's presence and love, where we can worship God in the beauty of holiness. And at this time, decorated with the produce of the harvest, symbolizing our appreciation of God's creation, which we are all called to steward responsibly. That's what it's all for. Let me add in yet another ingredient. Whilst it may not yet be possible for you physically to be in church at this time, imagine in your mind's eye that you are looking around inside the Church of the Ascension. And as you look, think, what is it that gives worth to what you see? It is the people, clergy and laity, leading and building up this community of faith. Some well known to you, some family, some friends, some known only by name, others only by sight. Go further back, and there are many never known to you, but a part of this place in their own time, just as you are today. We give thanks for the legacy of those faithful saints who have served here and have woven into the tapestry of this parish examples of the love of Christ present in their hearts and lives. A harvest of living stones built into a spiritual house. That's what it's all for. I would like to end with one other thought, which I feel I must share with you. It is, of course, easy to thank God for the obviously good things of life, which are clearly blessings. What is much more difficult, and therefore perhaps much more important, is to offer our thanks for the difficult things and difficult times of life. Could any of us have even remotely imagined a few months ago such a scenario for everyday life that we find ourselves in today, touching virtually every aspect of our lives? A silent, invisible virus has swept across the world, which feels a strange place right now, and has totally uprooted all that we understood as normal life. Who knows? Possibly in many ways, forever. And yet in these challenging and painful times and unknown future, when sometimes there seems to be no light at the end of the tunnel, the gospel proclaims a God of love and hope, a source of strength and refuge through all the changing scenes of life. I read recently that some church people have described the past 6 months as a long Lent. Perhaps. But we are Easter people with an Easter message. The risen Christ has come and still comes to us, even when we are gathered behind our lockdown doors. Comes to us in love and reassurance, saying, "Peace be with you." Like Naaman and the Samaritan leper, We give thanks and praise to God in Christ, the Word made flesh, who remains faithful, who shows us his unconditional love, and who remains a constant presence, even in the darkest of times. Uncertain and unprecedented days, yes, but whether in church or in our own personal devotions at home, let us continue to offer our thanks and praise. That may be our duty, but it must always be our joy. That's what it's really all for. Amen.
We believe in one God.
We believe in one God,
the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. The anthem, Fairest Lord Jesus.
Thank you. Let us pray. O Almighty God, Lord of the harvest, you promised through your Son to hear the prayers of those who ask in faith. Lord of your people, from you comes each good gift of life. As you have blessed the church with abundant grace, keep her faithful in the offering of word and sacrament. We pray for this diocese, for David our bishop, and following our diocesan cycle of prayer, for the staff team as they contribute to serve the diocese in a continually changing landscape. For the diocesan secretary, Roy Lawther, and diocesan finance officer, Brian Lavery, as they oversee the running and finances of the diocese. For the training initiatives overseen by the diocesan development officer, Andrew Branigan. For Tracy Taggart, personal assistant to the bishop. For your blessing upon your children's and youth work under Julie Curry and Tim Burns. And for effective diocesan communications under Annette McGrath. And we offer ourselves in this group of parishes to your service, asking that by the Spirit at work within us, others may receive a rich harvest of love and joy and peace. Lord of all creation,
hear our prayer.
Lord of creation, at this harvest time we thank you for the world we see around us, for the flowers, the trees, and the animals. Bless all those who care for them. Help us to protect your creation by being careful about how we use it, by being careful about how we use your resources. We thank you that you call us to play our part. May we work with you and with others to bring about change. Bless Elizabeth, our Queen, and all others in positions of responsibility. The Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, the Secretary of State, Brandon Lewis, and the government. The First Minister, Arlene Foster, the Deputy First Minister, Michelle O'Neill, and the Executive. Also, President Michael D. Higgins, the Taoiseach, Micheál Martin, Tánaiste, Leo Varadkar, and the government in the Republic. Give them courage and insight to develop policies and systems that support the flourishing of all, so that even in these challenging times, no one goes hungry and everyone has dignity. May justice and compassion prevail in political and economic decision making. Lord of all creation,
hear our prayer.
Lord of our relationships, we ask your blessing on our families, friends, and neighbours, and pray for all who are facing unemployment, ill health, isolation, or financial worries at this difficult time. Help us recognise the interdependence of all life and the importance of just relations and responsible stewardship of all you continue to give us. As we thank you for those who are serving and caring for others, in churches, in charities, in the national health and other public services, in our neighborhoods, in our homes, in food banks, and in many other contexts, give them strength, rest, and perseverance. As they work to support others, we ask that they too would receive all they need to thrive. As we give thanks for all who bring in the harvest of the land and of the sea, and for all who grow, manufacture, transport, and distribute our food, we ask for your grace and patience with us when we fail to look after your world as we should. Help us to change so that we too may become a new creation, walking in the light of your gospel. Lord of all creation,
hear our prayer.
Lord of all healing, though you have given the human race a rich land, a land of streams and springs, wheat and barley, vines and oils and honey, by sin we have made it a world of suffering and sorrow. We pray for the suffering we are meeting in our society during this global pandemic, those who have lost loved ones, those who have become ill or lost jobs and businesses, families who are struggling to make ends meet. Forgive the injustices and inequalities by which communities and individuals have been burdened for years, which have been made evident by the pandemic. May all who are ill or are recovering from illness or who are experiencing poverty receive the support they need and be able to find positive pathways forward. Be with those who have great need, both in the world's areas of famine or natural disaster, and where growers, suppliers, and consumers are suffering hardship following poor harvest yields. Lord of all creation,
hear our prayer.
We give thanks for the departed who have been grouped into your care. Grant them the joy of faith brought to fruition in your heavenly kingdom.
Merciful Father, accept these our prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table. But you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. The harvest of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
The hymn, "We Hail Thy Presence Glorious, O Christ, our great High Priest."
Christ our Passover has been sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us celebrate the feast.
The Lord is here.
His Spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Father, Lord of all creation, we praise you for your goodness and your love. When we turned away, you did not reject us. You came to meet us in your Son, welcomed us as your children, and prepared a table where we might feast with you. In Christ, you shared our life that we might live in him and he in us.
He opened wide his arms upon the cross, and with love stronger than death, he made the perfect sacrifice for sin.
Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, on the night before you died, you came to table with your friends. Taking bread, you gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
Lord Jesus, we bless you. You are the bread of life.
At the end of supper, you took the cup of wine, gave thanks, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me."
Lord Jesus, we bless you. You are the true vine.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life.
Lord Jesus, come in glory. Holy Spirit, giver of life, come upon us now. May this bread and wine be to us the body and blood of our Saviour, Jesus Christ.
As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us who know our need of grace, one in Christ, our risen Lord.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, blessed Trinity, with your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of thanks and praise, and lift our voice to join the song of heaven, forever praising you and singing. Thanks be to you, our God, for your gift beyond words.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. As our Saviour Christ has taught us, we are bold to sing.
Thank you.
The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ.
We being many are one body, for we all share in the one bread.
Draw near with faith, receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood which he shed for you. Remember that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Lord of the harvest, with joy we have offered thanksgiving for your love and creation, and have shared in the bread and wine of the kingdom. By your grace, plant within us such reverence for all that you give us, that we may be wise stewards of the good things we enjoy, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Almighty God, We thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory.
Amen.
Christ, who has nourished us with the bread of life, sow the seed of his word on your hearts, so that you may bring forth the fruit of the Spirit, and at last be gathered into his heavenly garner. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be among you and remain with you always. The hymn, "To Thee, O Lord, Our Hearts We Raise," in hymns of adoration.
Thank you.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ. Amen. Amen.
May I express sincere thanks to all who have decorated the church so beautifully for this Harvest Festival, and to all who provided gifts of flowers, greenery, and various foodstuffs for the decoration. Some photographs of the decorated church are now on our parish website, which we hope will inspire you as you participate in the service online. Unfortunately, those of you joining in the worship by listening to the CD cannot physically see the various displays. However, we hope that you will feel similar inspiration today as you visualize the decoration in your mind's eye. Thanks also to Mr. Timothy Wilson for playing the organ so magnificently for us. Also, the various readers, as well as Colin Hassard for his help in drafting the order of service, the church wardens for coordinating the seating arrangements, our visiting preacher, the Reverend Clifford Skillen, for his most appropriate and thought-provoking ministry of the word. And of course, our special thanks also to Colin Robinette and William Mathers for all their help in ensuring the smooth transmission of this service online and on CD. Sunday next, the 17th Sunday after Trinity, parish communion in Annahilt at 10 o'clock. Those who intend being present in church next Sunday in the Church of the Ascension are asked to please inform the church wardens. Contact details of the church wardens are available on the parish website, in the parish magazine, or in the letter recently posted to parishioners. At 12 noon next Sunday, Annahilt Sunday School will meet via Zoom. God willing, in-church worship resumes next Sunday in Mara Hamlet with parish communion at 12 noon. Arrangements for parishioners of Mara Hamlet to register their intention of being present at worship next Sunday will be included in a letter which will be sent by post during the coming week. And also may be found on the parish website. This is the last pre-recorded online and CD service. However, the in-church service taking place will be available on our parish website as soon as possible following the service next Sunday. It may be Sunday afternoon or possibly sometime on Monday before it is posted, but it will be posted and will enable those who don't feel they can be in church physically at the moment to worship either online or by CD. On Friday past, Mrs. Kathleen Kingston, wife of our former rector, Canon Eric Kingston, celebrated her 90th birthday. We warmly congratulate Mrs. Kingston on attaining this wonderful milestone and wish her our very best for continuing health and strength, joy, peace and fulfillment in the years ahead.